It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night. It is a Tuesday. It's 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. And always, you can download us on the 101.3 ESPN app. All you need to do, go to the Google Play Store. You can also go to the Apple Store, the iTunes Store. We are available there. Full access to our full show podcasts, all our interview segments if you miss anything, all our website written content, lots of stuff, scores, news, notes, everything is in the app. And if you're using that Amazon Echo or you're using that device, Alexa, if you're using that, just tell it, hey, Alexa, stream WCPV 101.3 FM, and then we'll pop on. So that will be great. Tomorrow, we're going to be out at the UPS store for Carmichael Street in Essex. Tax day is now behind us. That was last week. You want to shred your documents, they'll do it for free if you bring in less than 5 pounds, so we'll have a blast there. Rumor has it there might be some food out there for everybody. So we had a blast last week at the North Ave location, so come on and hang out. That will be fun until about 6:20 when we got Red Sox baseball tomorrow. Tonight, Burger Bar in Colchester, and we're very excited about this. We always love trivia because it's a great mix. Some college students are there looking to wind down the semester before finals. Lots of great townspeople. A lot of our key listeners are always there, so we appreciate you. Come on out tonight. You want to watch the Red Sox and Blue Jays. You want to watch the Celtics take on the Bucks. We will have it all. We'll be updating you on some of the other scores around sports, like the Yankee game they're taking on the Twins. So it'll just be an absolute blast. It's always a blast when we go out to the Burger Bar. So come on and see us tonight. Arnie is hosting. And it will be a great crowd, as usual. Great crowd with a lot of our key listeners. Again, we do go up until 6:20 today. We will give you those Red Sox and Blue Jays lineup. But first, let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, because waiting on that line for us is Jessamyn McIntyre. She covers the Seattle sports scene for ESPN Radio out in Seattle, and also covers the Washington State Cougars football program, and we'll tell you why we're talking with her about the Cougars in a second. Jessamyn, thank you for being with us, Champlain Valley Game Night. How are you?
I'm great. How about you? It's draft week.
Yeah, draft week finally. Are you guys out there as tired of it as I am with all the rumors and speculation?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you know the Seahawks, you don't know the Seahawks at all, basically, because you never know exactly what they're going to do. But they're pretty much guaranteed to not do anything in the first round. So, yeah, we're just ready for Friday and Saturday at this point.
What at this point is worse, the drama around the Patriots that we have up here with Gronk and Tom Brady, or the drama that you have out there from Richard Sherman at the previous start of the offseason to Earl Thomas, et cetera?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I'd say you guys probably have it a little bit worse just coming off the Super Bowl, and we've at least had a longer period of time not having had a postseason this year for the first time in 5 years. So, yeah, I'll give you guys a leg up on that one.
Let's talk about it. Washington State, I said you covered. Luke Falk is the quarterback who's just left Washington State now in the draft. He's been linked to the Patriots, maybe as a possible second-round guy even. Tell us a little bit about Luke Falk.
Oh, he's the guy you want on your team. He's the consummate professional before he was even a professional. I still remember the first time I interviewed him as a redshirt freshman. It was a coming out party against Oregon State. He threw 5 different touchdowns to 5 different guys and a comeback win, too. It was a pretty big comeback. And it was on the road. And I said, you know, I asked him about his ball distribution. And he goes, whoever's open, that's my favorite guy. It was the perfect answer, and he was 19 years old, and he had just won his first game, and, you know, he's just obsessed with football, and he is a team guy. Everyone loves him. He's not flashy. He reminds me of Andrew Luck a lot. in that way, where he has this old school mentality about him. You know, same hat for the 5 years. You know, you look at him and he looks like a 1980s mom at Disneyland. You know, he's not going to wear the expensive clothes and do this and do that. He's just about being a football player.
Now, I saw an NFL comparable to him was Mike Glennon. Some place had him as a fourth or fifth round pick, but I did read the Patriots could find him in the second round. Is that too high for him? Where do we see him?
I don't think that it's too high for him. I think anything past the fifth round is too low for him, and somebody would get a steal at that point. But I do think that the evaluations on him are so varied because, you know, he did have a couple times he struggled this year. The most consistent thing, though, you can see is in his accuracy. Everybody wants to talk about this air raid offense, and of course you're going to have the numbers. Well, not in completion percentage. You're going to get your attempts, but you got to be accurate when you throw in that offense. So he certainly has that. But, you know, there's just a ton. He doesn't have the speed, and that's a pretty popular thing around quarterbacks, you know, the Russell Wilson types these days. He is more of a Tom Brady prototype, and it doesn't surprise me that the Patriots are one that was interested, that he's been linked to quite a bit. And one thing you'll like to hear out there if he does go there is, I mean, I've been talking to him for years, and Tom Brady is the study of an NFL player. And that he wants to be. He has been obsessed with him and, you know, been studying the Patriots because of him for years and years. And I think he is, I mean, you want to go back to Tom Brady, and I'm not trying to compare the two because it's unfair to compare anyone to Brady, but when you go back to his draft profile picture, you know, you see this kind of lanky guy, doesn't jump off the page at you physically, and he dropped, Tom Brady did so far. I think Luke Falk would be the perfect person because it doesn't look like Bill Belichick's slowing down anytime soon. If I were Bill Belichick, I would love to have Luke Falk grow up behind Tom Brady in that system.
Jessen McIntyre, ESPN in Seattle, covers Washington State football. She's here with us on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. You mentioned the adversity. He was benched at a couple of different points this year. He's the Pac-12's all-time leading passer. What are the negatives that led him to that point?
Well, what came out after the season, because, you know, Mike Leach doesn't talk about injuries at all. It did come out after the season that we pretty much know he broke his hand in the Boise State game. Now, he did play through that for the rest of the season and saw some success, so you can take that with a grain of salt, but he got pretty banged up in that game. And then, you know, later in the year in the Arizona game, I guess you would just look at that, and he had a rough game. I'm not trying to make excuses for him and everything, but he showed that he could bounce back from that. And in the two games where he got benched, you're looking at an injury and a bad game. And I don't know if there's anything much more you can take away from it. The Cal game was bad for everyone on that field, and that was their first loss of this past season. So everyone kind of looked at that as the bad game. In Arizona, that was when Khalil Tate was on the other side of the ball. Arizona's offense was running over everybody, and Cougs just couldn't catch up. And, you know, Tyler Valinsky at the time had the hot hand, so let's just see what he can do. And Tyler had a pretty good end of that first half, so Leach stuck with him in the second half. Anyway, there was no quarterback controversy after that, so Mike Leach obviously showed a lot of trust in Luke. That kind of inconsistency, I'm sure, jumps out to scouts and head coaches as maybe a red flag. He's young, though, and that's something that, you know, he did bounce back from. The one thing I can say is he does not have the mental deficiency to deal with that. He doesn't put his head down. He doesn't, you know, stick with him or anything. He shows extreme resiliency, and the team did that behind him as well. So he has that leadership ability, too.
Jessamyn, because our station also goes pretty extensively into northern New York, we're also keenly aware of what the Giants are going to do at number two, and there's hope among a lot of the fan base that Sam Darnold might fall to them. You saw Sam Darnold out in the Pac-12. Tell us a little bit about what you saw in your experiences of Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold, of all the quarterbacks that I have seen, and I'm talking about, you know, your Josh Rosens, and I've been able to see enough of Baker Mayfield this year, specifically because he and Luke Falk were up for the walk-on Heisman of the year together, so I watched extensively a lot of his film. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and than Baker Mayfield, and I can't say I know a lot about Josh Allen because I haven't watched a lot of him. Sam Darnold is the most NFL-ready quarterback that I'm looking at right now. So if that's what you want in a person that you're drafting, then go for it. If you're looking at someone you want to develop behind, I think that gives you a little bit more flexibility in who you want to make your guy. But Sam Darnold is a guy that I would take out of all of them. And I'm not saying that there's a huge gap between them either, but I don't know. A lot of people are on Josh Rosen, and I take Sam Darnold in a heartbeat over him.
Very interesting. Draft finally coming up. I'm looking around the room, and the interns are nodding their head. Yes, finally. We're tired of all the speculation. The draft is this week. Jessamyn McIntyre covers the Seahawks, Washington State football, everything at ESPN in Seattle. Jessamyn, we appreciate it. Enjoy the draft.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. There she goes, Jessamyn McIntyre. Luke Falk is an interesting name. If you're a Patriot fan, you're looking for somebody who is going to develop behind Brady and maybe can take 2-3 years to develop like Jimmy Garoppolo did. That was the plan for him. Well, then maybe he's your guy. For now, though, that's almost it for us. Let's get you those Red Sox lineups. Sox, they're north of the border tonight. They're taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. First pitch just after 7 o'clock. The Sox are 17-4. The Jays are 13-8, a surprise team so far in that American League. Rick Porcello and Jay Happ is the pitching matchup. Porcello's 4-0 with a 1.40 ERA. A great year. He's only had one walk this season, 23 strikeouts. He leads, well, he's second in the American League in strikeout-to-walk ratio and walks per nine innings. Happ is 3-1 with a 4.50. He's striking out more batters than ever. He's got at least 8 Ks in each of his last three starts and averages nearly 13 strikeouts per nine innings. The lineups, Mookie Betts is in right. Andrew Benintendi is in left. Hanley Ramirez is at first. JD Martinez is the DH. Rafael Devers is at third. Eduardo Nunez is at second. Jackie Bradley Jr. is in center. Sandy Leone does the catching and hits eighth. And Brock Holt, he's the shortstop and hits ninth. Everybody in the Sox starting lineup has a homer at this point, except for the former Lake Monster, Sandy Leone, hitting just 115. Lineups for the Jays in right field leading off, Curtis Granderson, the former Yankee. Teoscar Hernandez, he plays left field. Justin Smoke, he hits third and plays first. Former Yankee, Yonhervis Solarte. Never nervous, Yonhervis, as John Sterling used to say. He hits cleanup and plays third. Steve Pierce, the former Oriole, and Ray is the DH. Russell Martin hits sixth. He's the catcher. Kevin Pillar, Gold Glove caliber center fielder, he hits seventh. Aledimus Diaz acquired this offseason from the Cardinals. He hits eighth and plays shortstop. And Devin Travis, he rounds out the order and hits ninth. That'll do it for us. We'll send you to the Rogers Center momentarily. Red Sox baseball coming your way. Sox looking for their 18th win. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Broadcasting live from the UPS store at 4 Carmichael Street in Essex. Trivia tonight at the Burger Bar in Colchester. All the games on all the TVs. Great prizes, half-price apps. Some great drink specials, too. We'll see you there, 7:30, 101.3 ESPN.